the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello folks, welcome to Beyond the Pitch. I'm your host Phil Brown, as always joined with Martin Woolworth. As always, I'm absolutely honoured to be joined here with Roy Evans, of course. Roy, lovely man and ex-Liverpool manager, ex-Bootroom, Liverpool legend. Absolutely honoured to have him on the show here on the NBC Sports Podcast platform. Roy, how's things, mate? How you doing?
Nice to speak to you. Everything's going well. Obviously, the team is starting to play, so starting to enjoy a bit of life, really.
And how are you doing personally? Because you're working for Liverpool TV, aren't you? You're doing some of the commentary for them?
I do a bit of both now. I mean, I do some of the commentary for LFC TV, and obviously it's usually pre-game and after-game more, not so much the commentary. But also I've actually started going back to watch the games and working in some of the lounges. Obviously the stadium is now magnificent with this new stand, and there's lots of different functions going on a match day. So you get to meet the ex-players and we have a laugh, and we also get to obviously meet a lot of the fans. And so it's a good night out, and it gets me out of the house.
Well, but Roy, let me take you back a little bit there. Obviously, ex England schoolboy, Liverpool boy, but it was Bill Shankly, correct? It was the one who saw you had an eye for the game and thought you should try your hand at coaching.
Not quite through that, actually. To be fair, no, Bill Shankly signed me for Liverpool at the age of 15. I could have gone to any club, really, because I played for England schoolboys. So Bill Shankly signed me, and I played more or less for 10 years, more or less, in the reserve team. I couldn't quite get into the first team. I was playing three games this season, three games the next season. So I ended up playing about 15 games at the top level. And then when Shankly retired from his management, Bob Paisley took over, and he was the man who said to me, yeah, we'd like you on the coaching staff. And I turned that down three or four times, because football is the best thing about football is playing, of course. Yeah. And then eventually people like Tommy Smith and my own father, they said, well, why don't you try it? And if you don't like it, you can still go back. You're still young enough to go back and play maybe at a different level. So I did that, and I think 1973-74, I'd just been to America, played for Philadelphia. We won the NASL, and came back and played one more year, and then went on the coaching staff.
So you were at Liverpool throughout the glory years when Liverpool were one of probably the best team in Europe, a magnificent football team. As a young Manchester United fan, they had my heart broken. You end up getting the Liverpool job as the Liverpool manager. Tell me, Roy, what was that like for you, mate, to be a Liverpool lad, growing up in a football club, to then one day become and asked to become the manager? That must have been an amazing feeling to be asked to be the manager.
Yeah, it is, because I suppose the nice thing about my story is that I went through all the aspects. I was a player, a youth player, reserve team player, played some games in the first team, then went through the being reserve team coach, and then first team trainer, first team coach, assistant manager to Graeme Souness. So I felt like I'd served my apprenticeship when I was offered the job. Mm-hmm. And it was still a big move, obviously, when you get asked to take it. And I was offered the job by my chairman when Graeme had sort of walked away. And then I thought, God, what have I done? I'm the manager of Liverpool now. And now everything is down to how I run this team. So, but to be fair, you got obviously a lot of backing off the players who were in the team then. And obviously we were reasonably successful in my time. Not successful enough, unfortunately, I would say. Obviously, I have some disappointments that we still never won the Premier League, but we were close, obviously, third, fourth. But obviously, at Liverpool, you have to be a winner, and unfortunately, that didn't happen because of Man United probably being, obviously, the better team at the time.
You mentioned that you took over from Souness in 94, and the club were really in free fall. They were struggling. But then your first full season, you lead into a fourth place finish. You know, we often see this change in coaching where you have a very short-term success, when the change is made. But obviously, you were reasonably successful with the fourth, third finishes. Now, what came into that though? I mean, what methods do you use there to right the ship, so to speak? Is it an attitude adjustment? Is it a coaching adjustment? Is it personnel?
No, it's a bit of everything. In all honesty, I mean, you hit all of the right targets there. At the end of it, okay, Graham had moved away. I mean, no one was more passionate about the game than Graham as a manager. He desperately wanted to win games, and that was Graham's nature anyway. Maybe sometimes he didn't buy maybe some of the right players, but more physical players than really good technical players. We just bought one or two in, and to be fair, I was very fortunate at the time that we had one or two or three young lads coming through the system, through the academy, if you like, and obviously they went in the team, so they, like Fowler, McManaman, played one or two games with Graham, but then became big players in my squad.
Roy, obviously, early 90s, the history of Liverpool dominating English football is still relatively fresh in everybody's mind. How much of a burden do you think the history of Liverpool Football Club was in managing in that present moment where the expectation is still through the roof of Liverpool to be winning league titles, to be winning European Cups? Because if you look at Liverpool now and you look at it in hindsight, you've done a magnificent job. Fourth, third now would be considered a very, very good job. How much of a burden of history was it for you managing Liverpool in that moment?
I never thought it as a burden. I thought it was obviously being involved in it from the very first time. But obviously, Shankly got us up into the Premier, into the Division One, and then from Division One, the Premier League sort of went on from there. And I was involved in all of the stuff that went on, the FA Cups, the European Cups. So in my time, we won over 40 major trophies at Liverpool, and that's not counting the reserve team games. That's just at the top level. So, and then when you take the job, is it a burden? Well, obviously, there's a comparison. People always want to compare one team to the other, which is the best team. We've had the teams of the past have won all sorts of trophies. So I suppose it is a bit of a burden on any manager that takes over the job. Even to this day, I still think it's there, because obviously we haven't won the Premier League as such. Although, say, my record is still as good as any English manager in the Premier League, which sounds stupid. But I say it's just something it's a burden you have to bear, and you have to try and get over that. We never quite made it. We obviously lost in the FA Cup. We won the League Cup. But as I say, we went from a place where we weren't challenging for them situations to a time when we were. Okay, we didn't win them, but unfortunately. It was considered a successful sort of time, I think, by most of the fans. And the type of football we played, of course, was good on the eye.
You know, you coached and played alongside some of the real greats in Liverpool history, really, with Shankly, Paisley, Fagan, Dalglish, Souness. Was there a certain style? Did styles differ? Did methods differ? Or was it really ingrained? You know, we hear a lot about the Man United way, you know, the Man United way to play football. Did that exist, you know, throughout the Liverpool systems? Styles change? Or was there a similar style and methods amongst all those people?
No, there was a Liverpool style. And obviously the fans always wanted a good attacking football. And obviously Shankly brought that, and obviously with that he took us through from the second division to the first division. We won all sorts of trophies with that, and Paisley followed on from that. Joe Fagan, as I said, so over the years we were renowned for playing really attacking football, and I think we have to remember it. Football is it's entertainment. Mm-hmm. All sport is entertainment. Yes, mm-hmm. Of course it's about winning at the top level. But we always had a style of play, but that actually differs between, obviously, the type of players you've got, and obviously from if you go from Bob Paisley's time to my time, they're all slightly different. So we all have a different way, but we all have a different opinion in football, which is the nice thing about Liverpool. Even when I was first asked to be a coach with the likes of Paisley, Fagan, Ronnie Moran, Tom Saunders, people like that, I was allowed an opinion, but it was an opinion that we all had different opinions, so we all put them together, and that's how the boot room basically became famous, because not because of the place itself, because of the great people that worked in there. So it's something you have to bear, and you have to take on board, and you have to play the style that suits the players that you've got. And most of the time, I think we did that quite well.
It was definitely an exciting team to watch, and obviously a club like Liverpool, you have to win playing a certain way, as you say. So you signed players, Roy, as you were saying, Graeme Souness signed physical players. You signed players that were technical, that were easy on the eye, that played the Liverpool way, as you say. One of those being Stan Collymore. If you could look back and do anything differently, because Stan Collymore was a bit critical of you in his autobiography, where he said you let the Spice Boys things develop, you weren't hard enough on the players. When you look back, Roy, what's your take on that?
At the end of the day, look, you are what you are. You have a rapport with your players. And at the time, the Spice Boys, I think it was a very unfair comment, if you like, about the Spice Boys, okay, because they wore the white suits. Had we won that game, probably no one would have worried about it. We had a team of personalities, and at that time, you could still have a social life. Yeah, we did go out for a few beers, the lads, to be fair, sometimes I even joined them. Mm-hmm. Because I think for the camaraderie side, that was fantastic. And you can say, obviously, after the event, it's very easy to say, well, if you'd have been harder, or if you'd have been you're too nice a guy, if you like. Well, okay, sometimes you are. I mean, you asked some of my players if they needed me to rip into them. I certainly did. But that's part of the game, and to be fair, Stan Collymore, again, has allowed his opinion. Stan came, we bought him for a world record fee of 8.5. The first year, he was fantastic. The second year, to be fair, we couldn't get him to move down from Birmingham, and his game fell away in many ways. And Stan then went on to Villa, then he went on to Seville, and never ever produced the form that he did in the first year with Liverpool. So, you know, Stan is a victim of his own mentality, if you like. Great player, but I say if he didn't really fulfil the potential that he had, I wish he had, because I say, after that first year, we really thought we were going to get big things out of Stan. But that's what's in football. It's people's opinions. And you have to put up with some of the good things. You have to take some of the flack when it comes your way.
Roy, when Gerard Houllier got the job in 1989, and then it was decided that, obviously, he'd be joint manager of Liverpool with yourself, how did that arrangement come about? And did it become evident almost right away for you that it really wasn't going to work out?
Well, yeah, it was one of those things that, well, obviously the game was turned into a very international game. Gerard Houllier had been with France, and they'd just won the World Cup, and he'd been part of that situation. But we looked at other people. We talked about bringing Kenny back as manager, or Kenny back as someone to work with. John Toshak got a mention. And in the end, the Gerard Houllier thing came up, and I probably, in all honesty, if I look back, I think I let myself down a little bit. The fact that I should have stood up for myself more. As I say, we were successful enough. We were getting there or thereabouts, obviously with the league positions, third, fourth. And to bring somebody in. And there's nothing wrong with the Gerard Houllier part of it. He came in. The biggest thing is what I didn't stand up to is that I should have said no to the idea of joint managers. I should have said, yeah, I am the manager. You can be director of football. You can be whatever you like, in terms of trying to help me and the club to get to where you want to go. So I should have stood up for myself in that situation. I wasn't strong enough, to be fair, at that time, because sometimes when you're a fan of the club, sometimes your heart rules your head a little bit. And but immediately, within the first 6 months, I knew that this is not going to work. Obviously, two guys making the same decision in football, it doesn't happen, because it's all about opinions. And I made the big decision of saying, okay, it's not working, I'm walking away, regretfully. But sometimes in life, that's what you have to do. And obviously, the football club, I didn't think it was working for the football club, so that was the reason I did it.
You being a player, that must have been very difficult for the players to not know who to answer to, who's making the decisions here. Who's the boss? Who do I try to impress? You know, a manager and assistant manager play very different roles. Sometimes the assistant manager is the guy putting the arm on the shoulder, and the manager's the one making the decision. It must have been very difficult for the players, Roy, to not know who was running the show.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, to be fair, I remained manager till the time I walked away. I must be honest. I mean, Gerard had his say, and that was fair enough. But most of the time, I stayed as manager. But it's like everything else. If I leave, say, a couple of players out, then they become like, oh, Gerard Houllier, and then they go on Gerard's side, and then, know, he moans about them, then he come back on my side. You do split the camp in many ways, yeah. And that in football you just can't do, because team spirit, camaraderie, whatever you want to call it, is a major side of it. And as I said, I think again, I think the board got it wrong. The board of directors at the time, they got it wrong. But I should have really steered them a different way and said, no, I'm not going to accept that. I'll be manager or I won't be here. Simple as that. So, as I say, it's easy after the event, looking back on it. And to be fair, I don't blame Gerard Houllier. He came, obviously, wanting to try and do the best for the football club. I think he was probably cleverer than me in many ways. He probably knew what would happen. And he actually said that when I left. He said, I knew that would happen, but didn't think it would be so soon. But we meet. I've met him a few times over. I saw him 6 months ago. You know, we shake hands, we have our hug. It wasn't down to Gerard. Sometimes maybe it was my own fault for not being strong enough, as I said.
Huh. Let me ask you about United games against United. United Liverpool games. I mean, whether everybody will admit it or not, it is the game in English football. It's one of the games in European football, and probably one of the most watched games worldwide. You know, in that week leading up, or fortnight leading up to those big games against United, certainly in your time there, where United were really on a high, were the preparations any different, and the feelings in the camp any different, or was it just another game on the calendar?
Well, it's a bit of both, in all honesty. You've got to try and keep, obviously, a level. You've got to have the same enthusiasm for every game, whether you're playing Man United or you're playing maybe Bolton Wanderers, if you like, whatever it is, just to mention a name. So you have to have the same mentality, you have to have the same desire to go out and win the games. But of course, when you play like some Man United, it gets hyped up in the media, television, written press, whatever. The whole thing gets blown out of, not proportion, but it gets blown sky high and everyone wants to see it. So yeah, they become bigger games, of course. And the fact that whoever wins those games over the season probably is going to win the Championship or the Premiership, whatever it was at the time. So, yeah, I mean, Man United games were massive. And yet, in all honesty, I mean, people obviously, yeah, you and Fergie must have been, do you hate each other? I said, no, not in a million years, by the way. Me and Fergie, Alex, things would get along fine. But once the game kicked off, then obviously not, because we're fierce enemies. But after the game, we'd always have a drink, we'd always shake hands, we'd always do the right thing. And to be fair, they had a better time of it at that period than we did. But it wasn't a hate thing. It was just a match of the fans. That the fans obviously found that they were our biggest rivals, and vice versa over the years. That's why obviously the tension builds up before those games, and you have to accept that. But after the game, you have to be sportsmanlike and do the right thing.
Speaking of which, 96-97, if you'd have beat United in mid-April, you'd have gone top with three games to go. I don't think people appreciate just how close you came to actually winning the league title for the first time in, what, the 89-90 season since Liverpool last won the league. You must look back on that, Roy, and think, we came so close, because you were almost there. Is that a sore point for you?
Yeah, it is. It sounds a bit stupid at the end of the day. I'm like over 35 years in football with a team that's won more trophies than probably anybody else. And yeah, I still feel like I'm a nearly man sometimes. We nearly won that, we nearly won this, we nearly won the FA Cup, if you like, the same thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's only human that you have regrets. We actually got ourselves in a great position that year. We just didn't take the mantle and go and win it. We played I think it was a home game, not sure if it was in Coventry or somebody. A few of our players made a few stupid mistakes in a way. And we lost, obviously, 3 points here and there. And it's very disappointing when we got ourselves into a chance in a position with a chance to win it, and that'll always be a regret of mine at the end of the day. And I say we still haven't won it yet. I hope I get a chance to see us do that, and I hope it's in the next few years, really. But as I say, that's football for you. You can't control everything.
Yeah, you mentioned it there. I mean, speak about coming close. How close is this current Liverpool crop? obviously some terrific attacking talent, but for me, obviously, the deficiencies at the back and the goalkeeper situation in particular still have a ways to go. But how close are this team?
Well, again, on a good day, they're great to watch. I mean, we watched the Arsenal game. They were terrific on the day. People might say Arsenal weren't great, but then we just didn't let them into the game, in all honesty. And what I do find is that, obviously, against the better teams, we seem to beat them sometimes with ease, and hopefully that's not a jinx with the Man City game this weekend, by the way. Obviously, the so-called lesser teams who come, and this thing which is called park the bus, which we say now, we don't seem to have a plan B for that sort of game, and so we lose points, you know, likes of Burnley last year and Watford and Little. If you're not careful, we lose points against them because they don't leave the spaces. They don't really attack you. They actually sit there. Now, when you got a team like Arsenal, want to attack you, and sometimes Man City have done the same. We've got a team going forward that can rip you apart.
Absolutely.
And probably, I mean, if you could play Arsenal every week, we'd probably win the league.
So would anybody.
It's not about motivation, but we just that obviously they do, I mean, they're capable of beating anybody Arsenal on their day, but we just seem to have that little thing that if they attack us, we can counter attack and put them into real difficulty. So. Against the big teams, which again is important to win those games if you want to win the Premiership, but also you've got to deal with the teams at the lower level, if you like, and you've got to have the same impact and try and find a way around this thing where people can sit and defend and catch it out.
Before you go, Roy, I want to ask you two quick questions. First of all, did the club do the right thing over Coutinho? And secondly, what's next for you? What do you want to do?
Sometimes I think the club did do the right thing. I think the club, obviously, again, you don't always be known as a club that's going to sell your players. And okay, over the years, we started to sell when McManaman went, and that was a fun free transfer, and Fair Fowler, Michael Owen. People started to leave for different reasons. Okay, the lure of Real Madrid and sort of Barcelona, that's fantastic, but somewhere along the line, players can't just dictate what they want to do. I mean, they can by not playing for you or messing around, if you like. I don't think Coutinho will do that. I think he will go back in the team and he'll play. And maybe he'll get his transfer maybe next year. But again, it's one of those things. Players can't rule the game, or even though they think they're their agents, if you like. Sometimes the club's got to say no. And I'm really pleased that Liverpool were big enough to stand up and say, okay, no, you're not going anywhere at the minute. You're under contract to us, and you will make sure that you'll come and play and do your best. And I think it was a brave stand up because obviously lots of money involved. But somewhere down the line, if Coutinho wants to go, then maybe he will. But I say, but this moment in time, I thought it was a brave stand by Liverpool, and I hope it works for them.
What about you? What are you up to next, Roy? What do you want to do?
Well, I'm retired now. I played a bit of golf today. We took some money off the lads, so that was okay. and to be fair, I've gone back, as I say, I'm working at the club in some of the lounges, as I say, which is great. Gets me out of the house, meet the lads, and we still have a good bit of fun. And Liverpool have actually engaged a lot of the ex-players more now than they've done in the past. So we get to see, I mean, even like Patrick Berger, Vladimir Smajer, they fly over from Czech Republic to do some of the games. We have Ray Clemens coming from London. We've heard Teddy McDermott from Newcastle. We got all sorts of lads coming back in. And
that's
it's great that you meet them, but it's also great watching the game. And as I say, I might, over all the years that I was at Liverpool, I mean, I'm winning all these trophies, and I certainly wasn't the best player, certainly wasn't the best coach or manager. You look at all the others, but I probably was the best mascot they've ever had, and so far since I've started going back, we've been pretty lucky too. So maybe I found the right place for me.
Right.
Well, right. Listen, certainly from my end, I really want to thank you for coming on the show. Yeah. It's an absolute
pleasure
for us to speak to you, and we do hope that you'd be willing to join us again in the future.
Well, one of these days I might just come over and see you live. That'd be nice.
Ah, there you go.
Anytime. Give me a ring, Roy, and Martin will be happy to give you money playing golf. Cheers, Roy. All the best, mate. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Roy.
Good luck, lads. Good
Cheers,
luck,
mate. Bye.